This one is called Kirsty's First Repo. Like always, here's a disclaimer. Buttercups, fuck off, this show's not for you. Kirsty's First Repo. We call him Kirsty, but his name's Kirsten, but we just call him Kirsty. Don't know why, it just stuck. Kirsty lived next door to H. He was going out with H's partner's sister. Took him on a repo. Done a bit of doors. I know I don't employ doormen, but he was just a nice chap. We just needed a driver. We said to him, it's easy. Just sit in the car. We just need you to drive the car. So me and H are repoing them. All you do, getting them, drive them to the auction. He couldn't have had a worse first day repoing if he tried. And this is his story, and it really happened like this. We get to one of the houses, and it's early morning. So we knock the door. The car's there. Me and H go to the door. This bloke hangs out a window, customary. Fuck you, you're fucking dead if you're going to touch it. Oh, yeah, all right, mate, yeah. It's just customary jog and what comes out the mouth. Right, we're going to smash your window and break into it now. No, you're not. Fucking, you touch that car, you're dead. Yeah, okay, here we go again. Keep the spill going. So we're just like, okay, right, we're going to break into it. So we go to the car to get a hammer to break into it. Next thing, the door opens, bloke comes flying out and he's undone the car. I think he's going to try and do a runner. So we've opened up the driver's door and we've just said to Kirsty, get him. Get in the driver's seat. Do not move. Do not move. Just sit there so he can't jump in. So we're dealing with this bloke and we're arguing and he's proper fucking going with me and H. Kirsty's just sat in the car like this. Never been on a repo. He's like, oof. That's a little, he's like looking across. And then a woman appears. She's got a dressing gown on. I wouldn't say she was good looking. A bit plumpish. Comes out. Oh, yeah, what are you doing, my husband? What are you doing? We're like, oh, here we go. So we're like, obviously we don't put our hands on her, but we're arguing with the husband. We're arguing with the woman. Husband's more aggressive, but this woman's getting worse and worse and worse. She goes over to Kirsty in the car, opens up the door. Now Kirsty just sat there. She opens up the door, starts to grab him to get him out. As she grabs him, a dressing gown comes undone and she's completely naked. So Kirsty's going, he doesn't know what to do. He can't put his hands up to stop her because he'd be groping her. So he's trying to put his hands on the steering wheel. She's trying to clobber him, grab him out. He's got floppy tits hitting him in the face. It's going, me and H turn around. We're like, what the fuck is Kirsty doing? And this woman is battering him and her dressing gown's wide open. Kirsty's trying not to look and she's fucking wailing him, absolutely wailing him. We've just turned around to a bloke saying, mate, get your wife, we're gonna have to drag your wife off. So then the bloke then sees his wife like near enough naked, dressing gown everywhere, Kirsty getting smacked in the face with her tits, grabs his wife and says, oh, come on, dear loving, come on out. And he's trying to take his wife in the house. His wife's going mad. Then she comes back, fucking launches a plant pot at Kirsty. This is his first day. Plant pot, boom, it's Kirsty. He's just sat in this fucking car. And we said to him, all you're going to do is sit in the car. It's easy. She's got a plant pot hitting now. And the bloke's trying to get her in the house. So we just take the handbrake off, snap the steering lock and get the car out. Then the bloke comes back out. We're arguing with him. And we're still hooking the car up on the spec lift. In the end, we just take it. But that was Kirsty's very first repo, but it didn't stop there. We do a thing called small ticket holding, which is where customers can't get a loan from a bank. So they get the finance on the equipment they need, and they pay it off. So it's called small ticket holding from a finance company. So you can get cars on finance, you can get equipment on finance. And some of the stuff we did was small ticket holding. So during the day, after that, after we took the car to the auction, we had to go to this nightclub. Went there during the day, probably about 11 o'clock. Obviously, it's shut. So we're looking around. We've got this bloke's telephone numbers. We're seeing if, like, we can get into the place. Sometimes they have cleaners on. Sometimes they have cleaners on so we can get in and we can start taking the stuff out. Or sometimes a manager might be in there. So we ring the number. It's this Asian guy. He's just making threats. You go away from my club. We say, well, we'll just come when the club's open. You come when the club's open. I've got all my doormen are going to fucking smash you up. Oh, do what you want, mate. I'll come mob-handed. I can bring a firm with me. Not a problem. You wait there. I'm fucking coming down. So this bloke come down. And he brought this bloke with him. I'm not going to mention the bloke's name because I later found out later on the bloke's firearms, he's in prison, he's a fucking nasty bloke, this doorman. Anyway, this Asian bloke turned up with this doorman, and this doorman was huge. This doorman just got out and he's just like a bit Somalian looking, he's just huge. And he's just humouring us, humouring me and H. Kirsty's in the van. And we're like, well, you know, this stuff's going. And the Asian bloke, I don't know how he got inside the nightclub. He was already in there. It's just weird. We was by these two big doors, main doors, and this big doorman's in front of the doors. And the doors aren't open. And the Asian bloke's behind the glass. And he's there going, you ain't having the things. You can deal with him. You can do with this. And it's a bit weird. So and the Asian bloke didn't come out. I don't know. It must have been a back way in. So we're like going, we'll open the doors. So I've gone to grab the doors. I've moved forward to grab the doors, to rattle them. This bloke literally just picks me up and throws me. Literally picks me up like a rag doll, throws me into the street. And as I've gone into the street, I've just caught hold of him. And as I've caught hold of him, I've gone back in his car, boom, just misses my head. Would have fucking killed me. I am fucking fuming. So I get up. He's arguing with H. H is arguing with him for what he just did to me. I've run at him, picked him up by his waist, run him into the doors, and the doors cave in, like nearly open. The doors, the nightclub doors nearly cave in. Then he's wind's knocked out of him. He gets up. He's on his phone trying to ring someone. And he's on the phone ringing, like I said, I know these people's names, but I won't mention them. He's ringing this top bloke in Leicester. And as he's ringing it and he's telling him where he is, I take his phone off him and I fucking throw it down the street. And he's gone, that's my phone. I'm not letting you ring people, am I? And you don't know where his phone goes. It could have hit anyone. I haven't got a clue where it went. I haven't got a clue. So then he starts going mad. We start fucking scrapping again. And then H manages to get behind him, takes him on the floor backwards. So H is completely on the floor and this bloke's covered him. This bloke's on the back trying to get H and H is on the floor. And I think fucking H is in trouble here. And I think the Asian guy inside's called the police. So I've gone over to this big bloke and I'm getting like in an arm bar, get him in this arm lock. And I've asked H if he's all right. H is going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And this bloke starts screaming, oh, my arm. I'm like, fucking hell, just relax. And H is going, mate, you better relax or Sean will break your arm. So he says, I'll get up. So I said, right, I'm going to release you. H went, if you don't, he goes, if you keep fucking around, he will break your arm. So as I'm releasing him, he tries to pull his arm, he tries to punch me. So I put a full lock on and his arm fucking goes. His arm feels like it's broke, it's fucked. He's screaming. Then a cop car pulls up and there's me and H with this bloke. Oh, I've missed out an important bit. While all this was going on, I told Kirsty to go and get the baseball bat out of the car because after the phone call, I said, go and get the baseball bat, Kirsty. I says, because if his mates turn up, we're going to fucking need it. We can't even handle this bloke. Me and H can just about control this bloke. If there was another two more of them come up, me and H would have been absolutely slaughtered. So I told Kirsty to go and get the bat. Didn't use it. So Kirsty had gone and got the bat. So anyway, the police turn up. Kirsty's got rid of the bat. The police are telling us to get off this bloke. We get off the bloke. The bloke then gets up and goes, I think my arm's broke. Sits in the back of a cop car. Like, what's he sat in the back of a cop car for? So then the police are asking what we're doing here and everything. And then we've told them what's happened. And then this Asian bloke comes out, cocky as anything. Oh, I'm doing it. I'm suing them. And I'm like, mate, fuck off. We're coming for the equipment. The police go, you're not having anything unless a court order. It was the only time where we said, we don't need a court order. The police go, look, you're not taking it. You're not taking any equipment. Asian bloke was smug as anything. Then he showed him CCTV footage, thinking we were going to get done. But obviously the coppers must have seen him throwing me in the road and all that. So the copper comes out after seeing the CCTV footage. And he says, everyone in the back of a riot van. So it's like, oh, fuck, we're all going to get nicked. So we all go in the back of this riot van. And then he went, right. And then the copper opens it. And he says, he points to Kirsty. And he says, you're staying. Points to me, you're going. And points to H, you're going. So me and H are like, yeah, we're used to it. We're used to spending the night in the cells. It was just common practice. It was always like NFA, no further action, but it was just like, yeah, we're used to it. And then the coppers went to me and H, go on then. I'm like, what? We went, what do you mean? He goes to Kirsty, he goes, yeah, you're staying, you're going, you're going. And I thought when he says, you're going, I thought he meant we was going with the copper, but he meant you're going out of the back of here. So Kirsty on his first day was stopping and he hadn't done fuck all. And the copper said, yeah, he's coming back to the station. We was like, why? And they went, running round the street with a baseball bat. So we're like, fucking hell. We go, mate, that's for our protection. And the copper goes, he can't run around the street with a baseball bat. We're like, fucking hell, what a first day he's having. And Kirsty's sitting there going, we're like, Kirsty, we're following to a police station, mate. Just don't say fuck all. So we get out. Then this big bloke turns up who this bloke had called. And he run the area and he did fucking run the area. He was huge. Won't say his name. But me and him are mates now. I took him on a job. It's very, very bizarre how it happened, but we're mates. And I was mugging him off. I run this area. I do this. I run half of Leicester. And I was like, going, well, I want to speak to the person who runs the other half. He's going fucking mad. And the coppers wouldn't even step in. They were that scared of him. But like I said, me and him are mates now, and we laugh about it. But we then left there, come away empty-handed. But a couple of days later, the Asian bloke actually paid. He paid for all the TVs and everything. So obviously he just didn't want us going back. But we followed Kirsty back to the police compound. And we just sat there and I think, fucking hell, do we do? So we go in and this copper meets us who had arrested Kirsty. And we're like, what's going on? And he says, we haven't booked him in yet. He says, he's still in the back of a wagon. He goes, he's just saying, it's his first day and he's just been telling us what's been happening to him. And I went, look, mate, I said, if you want to nick anyone, nick me. I was the one who told him to go and get a bat. You saw that big bloke turn up. We thought there was going to be more trouble. Look, it fucking lays on me. If you want to nick anyone, just give me a minor charge of breach of a peace or whatever. Just nick me. And his copper just sat and he went, he says, is your mate all right? I went, he's just having a bad day, mate. And he goes, he's just gibberish in the back of a thing. I went, mate, he's just having a bad day. And we told this copper about this woman with having the tits in his face. And the copper just starts laughing. I went, mate, it's his first day. And we told him, and in the end, the copper just went, he says, well, he goes, we have had a chat with the other geezer. And fair play, the bloke was a stand-up fucking guy who we'd had the fucking brawl with. He goes, he's in hospital now getting his arm fixed. We've asked him if he wants to press charges. He said, no. And we thought, fucking fair play to him. And he said, so where do you guys stand? I said, fucking, we ain't going to press charges. It is what it is. You know, we've come away without the goods, but it is what it is. And in the end, the copper just went, if I let that bloke de-arrest him in the back of a van, because this is a nightmare for paperwork, he says, will you just fuck off? And we went, that's a deal. So we went with a copper. He opened up the back of his right-hand doors. It's Kirsty like this. Kirsty, come on, you come with us, mate. And his copper just de-arrested him. And we was walking out. Kirsty was going, I don't think I want to do this anymore. He says, I don't think I'm cut out for this kind of work. And we're going, mate, never happen. It doesn't get this. It doesn't get this kind of bad. He's going, if it's all right with you, Sean. He says, I don't think I want to work for you anymore. Oh, good old Kirsty, eh?